When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can't eat money.
Every day that you open your mouth, I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
I'm just telling you what I remember. Holy moly.
And then right. One time they taste your blood and then they eat your liver.
Right.
She's a witch. She turned me into a newt.
That's the sound of the harmonica flying through the air.
Biologically speaking, very nice.
It's nice, okay.
It's nice. Beating a sheep to death.
Oh.
I got stuff for you you don't even know about.
Till I get my ham hands on you.
I know, it's got big ham hands. It can't do nothing.
That's what I'm saying. I never heard that. It's hands the size of hams. Who wrote this?
And they just... like, oh, this is neat. I'll see this next year on an article.
Yeah.
Write my little paper and then set it onto the back of the house.
And then
the back of the house. Yeah. Welcome to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I think that was my tummy. That's how I recorded that. I am the great and powerful mystery.
I'm J-Clone 33. That's how I recorded that.
What?
The tummy. That was your tummy growling.
Yeah, no, it's out. Yeah, no, I actually got that from an actual dinosaur last night.
Where were we at?
Nothing. Sorry, I pulled a pine needle out of my neck. It was really weird.
You said you got it from a dinosaur last night, though. Where were you, though? Would they get that, or capture that dinosaur sound?
Ontario.
Oh, okay.
I was like, hey. Oh, we have some pieces of leaves over, and he came over.
Over the border?
Yeah. So.
Star flowers. Is that what they're called?
Tree stars.
Tree stars.
I was like, sunflowers.
Oh, yeah. That's already a thing.
That's a plant. Yes. No, sunflowers are real.
Star leaves.
Hopefully everybody's enjoying the season finale. Yeah. It's a lot, like always. They're season finales. They're great. They're great.
If you like dinosaurs.
You better like, I'm sorry if you don't. If you like, I absolutely do not want to hear about dinosaurs. I didn't look up the name. I should have. There was one guy that's been commenting on Spotify saying that he really wants more dinosaur episodes. I hope you're happy.
Yeah, you got it. Careful what you wish for.
19 hours of dinosaurs. No, so more exciting. So we're going to Asia now. So just so everybody knows, Asia can be anywhere from some of the Middle East to India, China, Japan, Russia. Asia is a huge continent.
It's gigantic.
So we have a little bit of mix of everything. Like I said, from some of the Middle East all the way up to Russia.
But you got every biome and terrain and possible everything. And in between.
And then none of the islands. I put all the islands in Australia. I just want to make that clear.
That's fair.
Some of the Indonesia shared.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to loop it or lump it with that than it is with Asia, you know, like where you're dealing with Siberia, a little different.
Yeah, I mean, still, we're going to talk about tropicals and Siberia.
Okay.
All right, the first cryptid we're going to talk about is the Xiao.
Oh, Xiao.
Right? Xiao?
Xiao.
Xiao.
X-I-A-O?
Xiao. You looked at the pronunciation guide. We're still getting it wrong.
Xiao.
I do want to say that going forward. Every name will be pronounced wrong.
Yeah. The Asian dialect doesn't suit you well. I think last time you tried to do a Japanese accent, it came out German, like scary German.
I think that was you.
I'll check the tape.
I don't think I did an Asian accent.
I think you tried, and it came out very
German. I probably did a German accent and ended up sounding Japanese.
Or that.
I think that's what happened. I don't think I would try to do an Asian accent.
Okay.
Because I know I can't. I think I tried to do German, and I sounded like an angry Japanese guy.
Yes.
All right. So the Zhao. It's Chinese folklore. So the Zhao, or now the Rikus bird, is a mythical bird-like creature who resembles a microraptor from, you know, some dinosaurs.
Okay.
Dinosaurs who lived in China in the Cretaceous period that fit the description of the Zhao. So the Zhao bird can be said to be found in China's Bridge Channel mountain range in the remote forest there. It is a bird with four wings and a tail similar to that of a dog.
Okay.
It makes sounds like a magpie. In mythology stories, the Zhao is described as having one eye on its forehead. It's said that eating this creature curses you with abdominal pains and diarrhea for life.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the African Cryptomycelium bembe, which has poisonous meat. There are no reported sightings of the Zhao in nowadays, or at least no reported sightings into media, or like the internet.
Okay.
The areas it's from are still super remote, so there's chances that it's still being seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about this a little more. Like, that's really all I have for this creature.
It's interesting, though, that you said it had one eye, right?
So one eye on its forehead.
On its forehead. Yeah, I looked up just the word Zhao just to see what it meant or whatever. But the first thing that pops up is a instrument from China. It's like a little flute. But at the very top, it's got a hole, like, for the mouthpiece.
Right,
like,
on top of its head.
Right where one eye would be, yeah. I wonder if there was a coincidence there or not.
So this is, like, it's basically described as a bird, but it has, like, footed wings for its legs. So it still walks in its second set of wings.
Okay.
But it has two sets of wings, four wings in total, and a big, long, wagging tail.
Hmm.
So microraptors and many other very small dinosaurs that we believe were gliding, they had this, is their legs would actually develop feathers just like wings on their arms. So they could climb up trees like a little monkey. They had big, thick tails, and they would jump from the trees and glide, and they'd open up all four wings to glide around. So this is just, it could be coincidence that it resembles this creature. Also, this is part, like, microraptors are these tiny little animals. Their microraptors, as far as we can tell, had crazy vocalizations? Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Vocalizations. Like, they were able to mimic all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Bringing in a magpie, which is one of the mimicking birds,
yeah,
is very interesting that they say it sounds almost like a magpie.
Like that magpie video we just saw yesterday.
That was horrible. Or moving a guy's eye.
I think it's a woman.
A woman. Yeah. I mean, couldn't tell. I was more looking to eye popping out.
You know, dirty birds.
Just, it's very interesting.
Hmm.
I mean, don't have tons.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything? I mean, you said there are birds that have feathers on their feet or legs, right?
There is one more weird little thing. There is another creature in China with the same name that's not related to this. It is a simian creature, like a yaoi, like a monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
But with super long arms.
Hmm. Interesting. What, like, using that word for, I guess, multiple.
China's humongous.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, I don't know. There's no real good modern reports of this. Like we said, it could be just the fact that the areas, so that mountain range.
It did have feathers, right? They're saying.
Yes, it was like, it was a full
bird. And a tail?
Yes.
But now is a tail like a bird tail?
No, like, or? I said, a dog tail is what they said.
Yeah.
A big, thick tail.
Wow.
So very similar.
Or like a big cat, you know?
I'm telling you, I'm reading right exactly from mythology.
Okay.
Is it said a thick tail like a dog?
Yeah, I know. But you know how cats have also the big, long tails, the thick.
Dogs have a more rigid tail.
I guess you're right,
versus a cat's having a more flexible tail.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Different purposes.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah. So the China's Bridge Channel mountain area is extremely remote. We don't know a lot about it. Once again, you're going to see a common theme for all these episodes.
Remote areas?
Remote areas have dinosaurs left in them for some reason. Maybe because they're remote.
Hmm.
No, I don't know. But it just, like I said, it's just really weird. And I kind of wonder if dinosaurs are poisonous. That's something we didn't really cover in the South American episode. Is a lot of them say that you don't kill those animals. I think I said it one time. You don't kill them because they're toxic to eat. Or toxic to be around.
Hmm.
Well, Kalium bembe is said to be really toxic. And this little bird said to be really toxic.
Hmm. Interesting. For what reasons, though? There could be multiple reasons.
They may just be toxic to mammals.
Maybe. It could be other more supernatural reasons, too.
That they're toxic to mammals?
No, just like...
It may be more scientific reasons, like radiation poisoning.
That's what I was going to say.
That's not supernatural. That's radiation.
Well, the reason why they're radiated.
All right.
That's supernatural.
So that's really all I have for that one. It's very interesting, just because it's so much similar to stuff like Microraptors and Chinese folklore, mythology. No, it's just very interesting. Why don't you take a crack at the next name?
Oh, is it the one you sent me? Was it
The Makara.
Makara? That's the what Makara. I said, yeah.
Yeah, the Makara.
Makara. Okay.
So the Makara
that was my crack at it.
Is a sea creature, kind of.
Okay.
In Hindu mythology.
Ooh.
So I don't know if we have any Hindu listeners. I want to apologize. I don't know much about Hindu or Hinduism, but this is a creature from some of their early mythologies. It's generally depicted as a half-terrestrial animal, such as a crocodile. By that, it doesn't look like a crocodile. It lives, like saying, it's comfortable on land and very comfortable in the water.
Okay.
Its hindquarters are that of an aquatic animal, like tail parts. It's said to have a fish tail with peacock feathers.
Whoa, okay.
So a big flat tail with peacock feathers. Aetuporum near Angerwat and built by epic builder King Jarzerman.
Yeah. Hindu names are very, very difficult.
In the late 1100s,
okay.
A small carving on a crumbling temple reveals this creature. That's really our only depiction of really what this creature looked like.
In Angkor Wat?
Yeah, right next and near Angkor Wat.
Okay.
So it looks like a dinosaur.
Is this the carving you're referring to?
Nope.
About this sucker?
Nope.
Okay. Just curious.
So it looks more like a stegosaurus. It has the plates on the back.
I know what you're talking about.
The three horns,
yes.
The tail. So that's this carving.
So there's, yeah, and this is the one that people say that they point to. I'm sure you've seen it online. If there's any evidence for like dinosaurs still existing, it's always this stone carving in this temple. And this temple too has some other weird things too, like anomalies. And one of them is it looks like a stone carving. So currently, I believe this is the same temple. Now, currently in modern day, like you said, it was built back in supposedly 1100s. By the king, what's his name? Whatchamacallit, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Jarzerman. I really like learning about Hindu mythology and like their old temples, because the temples in India are just phenomenal and phenomenally built. And, you know, they're still standing the test of time. But this one in particular has like this giant tree that kind of looks like, you know, took root into the middle of the temple and kind of grew out of it, destroying, you know, part of it. It's got these giant trees growing out of it. And in the same temple, I think it's the same one as the stegosaurus-looking dinosaur, there's another picture or carving of, like, this temple. And in the carving, it has a giant tree, like, going up
it's
through
that one.
It. So the question was, is this temple, did they know, was the tree already there? Or did they know it was going to look like this in the future? Because it looks like a carving right beside it, too, that without the tree. So it's like they almost knew it was going to end up looking like this for some reason. I don't know. Kind of weird, just weird anomalies with this place in general.
So this is a hand-sized carving of the Hindu Buddhist, the Makara. Sorry, got something stuck in my throat there for a second. Can be found in a quiet corner of this complex. The stone temple engulfs in jungle vegetation. I don't even want to read it now because you just did it all.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's
it is engulfed in, yeah,
it's whatever, I guess, you know.
Sorry.
I'd have the whole thing written out, but it's...
Well, I know this area.
It's snake trees, just so you know. That's what broke up the walls. It's a species of tree that likes to get in between stone slabs, and it'll actually pop them apart.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened.
So that's why it looks like the stone was built into the tree. It's the opposite. These trees will go in. They actually kill other trees, too.
Okay.
They'll wrap around trees, suffocate them, and use them as a base.
What's that called?
Parasitic.
Parasitic trees. Okay. Yeah.
I thought I was going to talk about this cool temple. So there also, you did show the picture in other places. The Makara statue in temples in Indonesia have the like trunk-like curved mouth.
Oh.
That was the one you showed me a second ago.
Okay.
I'll try to remember the posties when this episode comes out. Somebody will remind me. Please do, because it's been working really well when somebody's like, it's 12:01.
Yeah.
Somebody listens to the episode and they're like, hey, where's that picture? You said it was going to be on Facebook. There now. Now, so it has this weird little trunk with big, wide, flat teeth.
Yeah.
So very specific when we talk about this creature. And almost no ears. But yeah, so, sorry.
It's a very interesting creature, though. Very.
Several different theories have been explained to kind of explain the Marikara. Could have been unearthed fossils, and they try to figure out what the creature looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Similar thing happened with a cyclops and, you know,
with the elephants.
Like mammoth and elephant skulls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's their trunk, but they're like, that looks like a big ice socket, which it does, but...
Very much does, but...
Another theory is it actually shows a cow or a rhino with a palm tree in the background.
Hmm.
The original carving.
Gotcha. With the spade or the...
Yeah
spade-like things on its back, yeah.
But if you look, the ears is what they're calling it. It looks like they're much bigger horns, but they're pointing backwards. So to me, it does not look like a rhino. I guess you could say they're cow horns.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it's... I would like to see other cows on that same complex.
Yeah.
Because that'll tell you. You know what I mean? If they don't draw cows like that. The palm fronds are being mistaken for the fin-like blades on running down the lizard's back. Maybe the carvings is evidence that dinosaurs really did live up until, you know, much closer to modern-day humans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's very interesting folklore. There's not a lot known about this creature in Hindu mythology, like what it means. It's very old.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking up too, just old. There's a lot of paintings and depictions, just a lot of Hindu mythology.
And they're
mythology.
A little different. Like I said...
yeah, they're all different looking.
The Marikara is the Sanskrit word for sea dragon or water monster.
Mm.
In the Tibetan language, it's called the Churshin, which demonstrates a hybrid creature living both comfortable in water and on land.
Oh, wow.
Its origin of this word means crocodile mugger in Hindu.
Okay.
These animals are known to pick out crocodiles. The word mugger evolved from meaning the one who speaks up and attacks another.
Okay.
So these are also kind of, you could translate it to crocodile harasser.
Yeah.
So think about what animals we have that harass crocodiles. Elephants, hippos.
That's about it.
That's about it. No, you got to be big enough. You
can't
get eaten easily.
And then Steve Irwin.
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't harass them. He knew how to control them. No, he did not at all. He controlled them.
The name is applied to mugger crocodiles in modern day, which live in India. They're probably the scariest of all the crocodilians to be around.
Oh, mugger crocs are?
Yeah.
What, are they different? Like, are they a different, like...
They're their own species.
They are?
And
okay.
They will eat you.
Okay.
They're aggressive. They are named this for their aggressive breeding behavior and their love of humans.
That's wonderful.
And snacks.
Let's not have them around as pets.
There's also a Vedic description... During the Vedic times in India, the god of heaven, I'm not even going to try to pronounce everybody's names, I'm sorry.
Oh, I know these. I'm pretty good with these.
The Varnu, the Vedic.
Vedas, yeah.
The Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
So they think this could be the water monster vehicle. It's what the Marikara could be.
Okay.
Is it more is not a real creature. It's more symbolizing the power of water or something of that nature. Making a monster face for how dangerous some of these rivers in the area are.
Okay.
So recent sightings, there was allegedly a sighting. We have some sightings. On November 15, 2013, an alleged monster creature was surfaced up in Vietnam. People were scratching their heads due to the claim of how it was found. According to the Japanese news site, Koropai, the monster was dug up in Vietnam rather than found on the beach or near the water.
Hmm.
It's pretty much a clearly faked photo.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't even really find the photo.
Mm-hmm.
I can find people saying it's a Marikara.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. Typically, sea monsters and large corpses are often found in oceanic sources. So its claims are quite when it's they dug it up. But, well, Kelly and Bembe was said to dig under the ground and live in holes for some parts of the year.
Okay.
The drought season.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I don't know. Maybe it is some kind of reptile or ancient dinosaur that lives in, you know, is hibernating essentially during the rougher times of the year.
Yeah.
Don't know, but Marikara.
You know what it also reminds me of is the Trunco kind of things? Like the sea, what are they called?
Trunco.
But the name for the elephant-like creatures with the trunks. What are they?
Sirenians?
Sirenians, is it? The sea Sirenians? I don't know. But a hybrid of, like a reptile too. Because even Trunco wasn't described with as being serpentine at all. Or
no, remember they said that his back half was like a lobster with big armor plates.
Oh, shoot. I guess you're right then.
He just had a trunk on the front.
Yeah, it's giving me those vibes a lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. Marikara, it's there. You can look into it as much as you want. I don't know. I have no sightings of this modernly. Same with the Zhao.
Yeah.
But it's just neat things in folklore and mythologies.
Yeah.
That really kind of fit the dinosaur mold. Want to go with them?
Very much so, yeah.
My next one's in Russia. The Brezno Dragon.
Ooh, okay.
This is a big, scary monster. The Brezno Dragon, or Brezno, in Russia, it's some unpronounceable thing. It's a name that is applied to the Russian lake monster. Many people treat its existence. So I strayed away from a lot. What are you laughing at?
You just defaulted. It's just an impronounceable thing.
The Brezno Dragon. Look that up. I stayed away from a lot of lake monsters. And river monsters and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
The couple I went with have much more saurian dinosaur-like bodies.
Okay.
Not the typical long neck, like a plesiosaur or right. Serpent.
Basically what you imagine when you see
most like monsters.
Dinosaur or something, yeah.
Many people treat its existence with skepticism and say that this creature may be a mutated beaver or a giant pike.
Giant pike or mutated beaver? Those yes. are very different.
Other conjectures of the group say it's wild boars and elk crossing the lake from time to time, and people just see a chunk of it and like, oh, the Brezno Dragon.
And that can look weird. Like, you can very much, if you already have the dragon idea on your mind and you see a weird boar's head swimming across or a deer move, I don't know, what elk, what do they have up there? And
yeah, they got elk.
Okay, imagine that swimming across. I could see that if you don't know what you're looking at.
So I have a couple articles on this one because they treat it very differently depending on who you go to.
The articles do?
Yes.
Okay.
So there are more, there's a more scientific hypothesis for the Brezno. It's one, it's a gas version saying that it's hydrogen sulfide grows up from the lake bottom and causes the water to boil, which people say resembles a dragon's head, and there's like all the splashing around.
So this is their version of swamp gas?
This is swamp gas.
Oh my gosh.
Hydrogen sulfide, it is swamp gas. There's just not a ton on this. Fishermen say that the underwater world of the lake Brezno has structures in several levels. From time to time, burbot and yellow perch can be found in the lake. For example, herring can be found in the lake in the Peno district in the Tarva region. Some consider it strange that sea fish may live in the lake as well. Smelt sole in the lake Brezno as well. The phenomena of the Brezno dragon can be explained by the physical point of view. Huge smelt shoals could be what people are seeing. So this article just really wants to walk it away. There was a globster, which we'll talk about with this.
That's what the word globster.
So our friend Rob Morphy.
Okay.
Did a different article. So he says, this bioluminescent aquatic reptile inspired terror in fishing villages surrounding Russia's little-known Lake Brezno for generations. Lying just 250 miles west of Moscow near Ardapul in West Russia, is a relatively small body of water, which is known as Lake Brezno, which, according to eyewitnesses, is home to a bizarre, glowing, reptile-like creature. The reports of this luminous beast, which allegedly lurked near the bottom of the lake, date back to at least 1854. There has been said the legend of the aquatic terror has been told and retold for centuries. The most famous tale associates the dragon concerns the account of the Tar-Mongol army and heading to Novgorod in the 13th century. Their leader, Barakhan, reportedly stopped his troops at the shore of Lake Brezno to rest and allow their horses to drink. When their horses ventured too close to the lake, a colossal roaring beast emerged from the water, devouring the animals and the soldiers alike.
All of them?
It killed a whole bunch of them. Didn't kill everybody.
Yeah.
But started grabbing and killing just...
Yeah, still, not just one.
The troops were so terrified, they turned back and they never went to that part of Russia again.
I understand why.
So when they describe this creature... It was very much, it had four legs, a big body, a giant head, like a flat square head full of teeth.
Yeah. So a giant crocodile?
Kind of, but this body was a lot taller. It was very flat and narrow.
Like a Colossus?
Think bigger. And like a big raised back.
Are you leading me?
A big flat head, a lot of teeth, likes the water with a big raised back. I'll keep going.
Yeah.
On ancient legends describe this enormous mouth, long. It's the fishing monster. They call it the Sand Mountain, which appeared on the surface of the lake. So you see what appears to be a mountain of sand appears on its, which is the creature's back.
Mm-hmm.
It's an illusion. It's a big flat piece.
Okay.
Most recent locals claim during World War II, the dragon, apparently an Allied synthesizer, managed to swallow a Nazi airplane.
Wow. So it got... How did it do that?
It just, a plane was landed on the lake and it attacked a plane.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did it jump out of the lake?
And no, it was like a puddle jumper.
Okay.
Describing it as being, you know, it's really hard. A lot of people say 16 foot long, iridescent dragon-like creature with a fish-like or serpentine head. The animal is said to have spent terror thoughts through small fishing communities located not only on Lake Barsno, but through the whole Vargo River as well. Mm. So this same creature kind of pops up on other little lakes along this one river.
Okay.
So that kind of points that it could be the similar thing. But, you know, other reptilian-like animals are said to be bioluminescent. This thing's supposed to glows. Although most representations of the Barsno dragon suggest it's reptilian, some researchers think that maybe in the frigid climate in Lake Barsno, the creature could not be a reptile. It's been surmised that the animal may be mammalian. Others think it may be dinosaurian. As we know, there were plenty of dinosaurs that were completely comfortable in very cold climates.
Right.
In 1986, the Arataris News agency reported many residents of the Barsno Lake were terrifying local press of the Barsno, or Barsny, the monster. Many of these citizens of this tiny village were taken to fortifying their homes from this monster coming out of the lake to attack and eat them.
Well,
one of the elderly women said, "I am afraid." Who lives? So they give her name, but I'm not even going to try to read it.
I mean, I'm not laughing as it's like I would be too.
70 years old, lives in nowhere, Russia.
You're fortifying your house.
I am afraid. She lives in a small lakeside village of Barsno, about 400 miles or 400 kilometers northwest of Moscow. Mm. I do not feel comfortable staying in this place. The monster crawls out of the water and into my home at any day now. Once again, translated.
I hope she's okay.
And she died.
Oh. Way to add that in. Yeah.
No, so people see this thing. There was, in 1996, an anonymous tourist from Moscow allegedly snapped pictures of what they claim to be the dragon. It just looks like a picture of the lake. I'll post it if people really want to see it. It looks like a really nice picture of a lake.
Yeah, there's no...
I don't see a monster. I see a really nice picture of a lake. But yeah, so the Lake Barsno monster really kind of looks... like a Spinosaurus.
Oh, okay, one of them, yeah.
The big, tall fin on the back.
And...
With the bioluminescent spots. We think some dinosaurs could have been bioluminescent.
Yeah, I don't see why it couldn't be. I mean,
given the appearance of being much larger. In 1997, there was reports of an animal swimming close to shore on the settlement, causing yet another frenzy of terror in the Barsno coast. In the summer of 2002, experts in the Compost Research Association went to an expedition in Lake Barsno and did echo-deep sounding. The result of this expedition yielded perhaps the most bizarre development in this case yet. The Moscow newspaper Arguments and Facts reviews that they did not discuss their strange discovery in the lake. Echo deep sounding registration, an anomaly. It was like a huge jelly-like mass of a railway car sized, heading 5 meters above the bottom. The mass stood motionlessly. We waited for some time and then decided to move on. We threw the underwater portrayer and low-capacity explosive device down there. When the device blew up, the creature startlingly started glowing up. We stared at the water, and it was clear. Nothing resembled a monster. However, something unusual was still felt in the lake now. They blew up some kind of animal because a carcass floated up. It's the Lake Barsno globster.
The carcass?
Yeah.
So they killed something.
They killed something. It could have, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it's a giant, so there was the Cayuga sturgeons, which are extinct. They were absolutely, they got bigger than great white sharks.
Yeah.
And they're gone. Yeah, I think it could have been one of those they killed.
A freshwater sturgeon.
An absolute behemoth. Sturgeon are all massive. This dwarfs all of them.
How big are they, roughly?
We think they got up to 25 to 30 feet long.
Okay.
Bigger than a great white shark.
Any chance one of those could wander over to, U.S. at any point in time?
No, they're probably all gone.
Okay, and not end up in a certain lake, East Coast, at all?
I don't think so. I don't think it's champ, if that's what you're getting at. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was talking about that, actually.
Okay.
I had to think of the right lake for a second. Mickey, you're right.
But they blew up something, and it died.
Yeah, I mean, obviously by that picture, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder what that's interesting in itself right there.
I think
there.
They killed a sturgeon. I think because it was right on the bottom and they watched it and they threw a depth charge over.
Yeah.
And they killed a sturgeon and they're like, huh.
We got the monster.
It's dead.
And now, since then though, after they've blown this thing up, Have there been any more sightings?
Not that I could find.
Is that 7-year-old woman still afraid?
No, she got eaten.
Oh, that's right.
The dragon came to her house and ate her. No, so it kind of seemed like people, like some of the eyewitness drawings kind of put it like either like a Spinosaurus like monster.
Yeah.
Kind of like a crocodile, but not. It's very odd. It's not the typical lake monster, big long neck. It has a giant back. And people, but they draw it flat too. So it's not like it's a big rotund
right building. Head. Yeah.
It's very odd.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. In Spanish, I mean, in ARC, they fit all that behaviors. They're very aggressive and will murder you like fast.
Oh, no, they will.
And they like the water.
And they like the water. All right. We're at the halfway mark. Let's play Flayers of Forest Ad.
I, the great and powerful Mystery, had devised a diabolical plan. I am going to bring back a dinosaur so they can reveal their secrets of dynamite flavor. Hit the ray! What is that coming out of the tube? It's a dinosaur! Oh my gosh, what is that in your claws, dinosaur? Is that Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot breath, raw garlic dust? Oh my gosh, this is the best stuff. It truly is dynamite! If you guys had this, how did you go extinct? Ah, taxes. Gets us all. If you want some of this amazing and dynamite garlic dust, you can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn or the link below.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back.
Sorry, I tried to hold it till that was over and it sneezed.
I hate you.
Sorry.
The Carha Beast.
The what?
Another Rob Morphy article. The Carha Beast.
Carha? Is that you're saying it?
K-H-A-I-Y-R.
Okay.
Carha.
I don't have no idea.
I don't know. It's Russia. Again, in Russia.
I think you got to put a... There you go.
The beast.
Yeah.
Now, this bizarre beast was seen by a team of scientists while gazing upon the shoreline of Russia's volcanic lake Kura, making arguably the most scientific eyewitness report of a frightening quasi-prehistoric monster ever recorded. So this is modern-day scientists watched a dinosaur in a lake in Russia.
Okay.
Dwelling deep within the bowels of the shadowy yet volcanically active lake, which is known as Lake Carha, located in the isolated, permafrost-ridden, the Yukara region of eastern Siberia.
Okay.
One of the worst places on the planet to live. Is a beast which has stirred both fear and controversy ever since it was first reported in its head in front of a renowned Russian biologist and a team of scientists at Moscow State University. The biologist in question was Dr. Nikola. I'm just going to go with Nikola because his last name, I'll try it one time for everybody at home. Because people either hate it or love it when I pronounce things.
Let's try. I want to hear it.
The first word of his part of his name is glad.
Okay.
I can read that.
Okay.
Kirk. Glad Kirk.
Oh, okay.
Nikola, who in 1964 made a prominent to this remote region, basically went out to a big expedition in order to sample rare mineral deposits and survey this region in Siberia. It was in this moment of a quiet on the rocky shoreline of this lake where Nikola, I was mixing his names, first encountered this beast. So before I continue, this is a volcanically active lake.
Okay.
In the middle of Siberia.
Okay.
The lake is pretty warm for Siberia.
I looked it up too. It's
how do you say the lake?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Okay.
Kyr?
So the Kara beast, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
we'll go with Kyr.
Okay.
So while most lake monster sightings are vague humps or serpentine nut necks bobbing in and out of the lake, Nicolas' sighting made the most intriguing by the fact that he saw the creature close up on the shore and almost entirely above the waterline. Nicolas claimed that his first account when he woke early on the misty morning in order to gather water, enjoyed the silhouette of the placid slender on the Coral Sunrise, when he was confronted by an amazing sight. According to him, he faced the water on the edge of the lake, and he was shocked to see a small-headed, primeval-looking animal emerge from the water and began to feed on the long grass sprouting up from the shoreline. So he describes it as being massive, long-necked, bluish-black creature, reptilian quadruped, with a heavy tail and a lizard-like head, with two tiny spur-orbed horns. So that's horns above the eyes.
Yeah.
The creature's most distinguishing attribute, however, was its squat triangular fin that ran down the length of its spine. So it had one big long fin running down its spine. So kind of like the other Russian monster, the Brozno dragon, had a big, what it seemed to be a fin running down its body.
Mm-hmm.
This guy seems to eat plants, though.
Okay, a little different than Spinosaurus.
He claimed that he watched this enormous beast thrash its tail in the water. He later reported this. It was long, gleaming neck with a small head. The body was huge, covered with bluish-black skin, and a big dorsal fin that ran down its body. All of a sudden, the animal slid back into the water. Sometime later, I saw it standing on the water in the middle of the lake. The animal started swinging its long tail and whipping the water. The waves made a rippling on the surface effect. So beavers do that to announce other members of their species of predators nearby.
Okay.
So this giant animal seems to be a herbivore, or at least an omnivore at the very least, because it came out and started eating this big long grass.
Right.
May have noticed him. Didn't recognize him because in this part of Siberia, they probably don't see a lot of people.
Right.
And went out to the lake, and it could have been announcing to other members of its species, hey, there's something here that is, you know, new.
It's a danger call. It's like a prairie dog.
Yeah. So wasting no time, a terrified, yet no doubt exhilarated biologist swiftly made his way back to the base camp in order to alert his teammates that they needed to murder this thing. I added that bit.
Okay.
Of his incredible discovery. He was armed with a rifle, returned to the beach with his fellow scientists in tow, by only evidence that remained of this large swath of flattened grass. His cohorts were understandably dubious concerns about the beast ever existing. But just then, when it seemed that he was lying, was going to have his vodka ration terminated, the expedition chief, Dr. G. Rushugov, along with two of his associates, claimed that they watched in awe as the very same or at least remarkably similar creature reemerged in the center of the lake just 2 days later. So he runs back to camp, says, I seen this giant dinosaur.
Right.
He's eating grass. It's remarkable. He grabs the rifle, makes everybody go back with him because they're going to murder it. Scientists in the 60s, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's
what humans do, too.
Yeah. It's science. Grab the gun.
Right, yes. For the science. I am the science.
So, gets back. Everybody doesn't believe him. They're like, all right, we're going to cut your vodka rations back. And then 2 days later, the lead of the team and two of his cohorts.
Witnesses.
Witnessed the same or a similar animal in the middle of the lake, kind of up and about. After the second event, the leader of the team and his men described the animal much the same way as he did before. Only other accounts included the appearance of the dorsal fin. The witness all agreed that the monster's was appeared to be so black that it was almost looked blue. Although all the men concurred that the animal in the lake appeared to be a prehistoric biology, some dispute between those who believe that the beast was related to the plesiosaur family or those who related it was a tetrapod, a footed rather than flippered animal.
Hmm.
So was it a dinosaur or was it a plesiosaur?
Right.
Different
things, yes. You know what? I'm just going to say this now. I'm sick of the plesiosaurs. Everything in the waters, long necks, always a plesiosaur every time.
It could be sauropods.
It could be.
They were like the water, too.
Right. I'm sick of it.
Gosh dang it. Perhaps the strangest theory that comes from this was speculating the creature may be a relic ichthyosaur.
Ooh, okay.
Which were the dolphins and whales that were reptiles.
Weren't those the big fish?
No. They were like, reptiles.
But they look like fish.
They look like dolphins.
Look like dolphin fish.
And then a couple of them, like Shonisaurus, was like whale-sized.
Okay. They were the big one. They were in Ark, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They call them dolphins in Ark.
Oh.
because they were reptile dolphins. Like that's what they were. They seemed shark-like or dolphin-like. Ichthyosaurs did not match any of these descriptions. It was one guy on the team is like, it's an ichthyosaur.
Right.
Everybody's like, shut up.
Shut up, Steven.
It wasn't long before the anonymic entity found itself in the press and the scientist reports published in this local newspapers in the magazine of Soviet Life. The story took a life on its own, spreading swiftly across the globe. Sadly, due to the remoteness of this lake, which lacked any photographic evidence, it wasn't long before the public's interest died down and the legend became a mysterious monster that had faded into obscurity. But yeah, skeptics, people have gone back and looked for it. People have claimed that there's a carnivorous water horse also in the area, which may be the same animal. It may be an omnivore.
Oh, I'm going to need you to repeat that creature again.
A carnivorous water horse. So water horse are like, you know, kelpies and stuff like that.
Oh,
so okay. Horse-like aquatic animals.
Yeah.
So there's also stories from a nearby lake from some of the very few locals that live there saying there's a carnivorous version.
Okay. Not just eating on plants.
Yeah. There's a thought that it could be the same animal that's omnivorous.
Yeah.
That will take whatever food is available.
Right, yeah.
And if you live in Siberia, you probably will take whatever food's available.
That's probably true.
Yeah, so it's just another one of these strange ones.
Hmm. Yeah, I like this one, though. Interesting. But didn't you say what university was, like, Moscow or something you said?
Yeah, it was Moscow State University.
So that's, I mean, that's pretty weird.
So, the depth, the fish. So there was a lot of weirdness stuff with the fish. Some people claim this is that the guy was not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of arguing. It's really hard with some of these Russian ones before the Iron Curtain came down.
Yeah. I think information in general, though,
it's still hard. They don't get me to get from Russia. Russia and China are probably the two hardest to get anything from.
Probably. And North Korea, maybe?
Oh, I mean, North Korea is impossible. It doesn't happen.
For other reasons?
I mean, you literally get shot in the head in North Korea if you have a flash drive.
Oh, okay.
I'm not joking.
There's
this whole thing in North Korea with people just trying to smuggle in flash drives to show information to people that live in North Korea.
Oh, gotcha.
So you get caught with a flash drive, you die.
Dang. I better take those off my keychain.
North Korea and South Korea, you couldn't have more different places.
Well, there's probably reasons for that.
I'm just saying. You know, South Korea, I think people say it's like South Korea is like 2 decades ahead of us. Like when you go in town, seeing like the devices and stuff, like the technology.
Ahead of us?
Yes. They're just technology moguls.
I have no idea.
It's really crazy when you see some of the videos of some of the stuff they walk around with.
That's scary, though.
Yeah. So there's also some talks of this beast during Russia's or during the Cold War. 1964, you know, this was during the Cold War when they were there, that there may have been expeditions out there looking for extra resources is why they ran into these unexplained creatures. This is also the same time when we did our Living Mammoths episode, another research team ran into mammoths in Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be because these areas, there's nobody there almost.
Right, yeah.
And the Cold War was forcing Russia to look for resources. And they were going to Siberia, a humongous swath of land that definitely has, you know, whether rare earth elements.
I'm sure there's a lot there. Yeah,
but just getting it.
I mean, even that's where they found that Denisovan bone was in that cave in remote Siberia that takes, like, I think the scientist that did, like, an expedition there to check out the cave said it took, like, 2 days of car riding through the Siberia just to get to that spot. 2 days of travel and car. I mean, it's...
No, it was a week.
Was it?
So the Denisovan cave, it was 7 days across Russia.
7 days, okay.
Because it was... Nobody understands. Did you see the video of the road he was on? It was grass.
It
wasn't a road. It was tank treads on this vehicle.
Yeah.
And he had to pay people along the way.
To get you there.
You have to... I mean, there's a reason biologists disappear all the time. Is because... if somebody didn't tell you, hey, you're going to have to bribe people the whole way to get there.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to leave you out in the middle of Siberia.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're the guy that, like, I'm just going to go do it on my own dime and you don't talk to anybody.
You're
dead.
And,
like, you're at the second checkpoint and the guy has his hand of money and you just gave all your money to the last guy.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, that's fine. Well, you live here now. It sucks.
Here's some vodka.
It's warm right now. In 3 weeks, there's going to be 30 foot of snow.
So get to building your shelter now, I would advise. Collect firewood. Keep it dry.
Also, if you're in Russia, never refuse a shot of vodka. It's very rude.
Is it?
Yes. No, it really is.
Okay. Well, I'm screwed.
Why?
Because I will puke.
Well, I mean, you can still do it, but...
Oh, I can do it, but it don't stay down.
I think they'll understand that you tried.
Yeah, okay.
I think that, you know, it's like the some of the peace pipe stuff.
That was like
you cough and you're like, it's not rude. It's just like, I tried.
Well, I tried. I had an experience. I did a four horsemen shot, you know, once. Try to, you know, someone said, you won't do this. I said, yes, I sure will. And the bartender's like, I'm not serving you this. I'm like, just do it. He's like, fine. Here's my friend. I did the four horsemen shot. I got about to the middle of my throat, and then all of it came out of my nose immediately. And I was blind for about 30 minutes.
So
awful.
I was going to save this. That's pretty much all I have for Russia.
Russia, I'm sorry, or Asia?
Asia.
So
I do have some Middle Eastern ones coming up. I think I lumped them in with Africa, though.
Okay. I mean, it's hard. It's in between.
Just pick one.
Yeah.
I do have a weird article I found about China, though, with dinosaurs.
Ooh.
Dinosaur DNA may have been found in China. So that's weird, right?
Interesting.
So the article is, I think it's a Mysterious Universe article. Most people predict real-life Jurassic Park expect this to happen in Siberia, or don't expect it to happen in Siberia, where, you know, or they do expect it to happen with frozen corpses of woolly mammoths and other ice age creatures.
The frozen permafrost of Siberia.
Yeah. However, you don't think you're going to be visiting a theme park filled with velociraptors, T-Rexes, in a place somewhere like China. While researchers announced they have isolated cartilage cells from a well-preserved dinosaur, quote-unquote, fossil in China, cells with nuclei containing trace amounts of biochemicals and other organic structures. Should you start saving up for your ticket to admission?
Mm.
The title, Nuclear Preservation of Cartilage of the Joel Dinosaur Cartilage, is a study where scientists from the Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology and Paleographic in China's Academy of Sciences, and there's just so many words, published recently a communications biology containing two phrases to get de-extinction pamphlets excited for nucleotide preservation. So there's a peacock-sized dinosaur that supposedly they found a fossil of. That's early Cretaceous, so around 125 million years ago. This means it probably was the closest modern descendants would incubate an embryo would have to be some kind of bird. Organic molecules and coromites. In fact, the first thing the researchers were checking, the historical strain of these things appeared to be both demineralized cartilage and these basic building blocks of cells, the nucleus. The two specimens recepted identically. One dinosaur revealed the nucleus of a fossil thread. Basically, there's a big, long article. You can read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – there's a lie. There's a lie somewhere. This whole article goes into these cells, this demineralization, and being to retroactively find DNA samples. There's a lie, and I just don't know where the lie is.
Right.
Lie is either it's not a fossil.
Correct. Because why?
Because you cannot. I'll argue, and I'm not a paleontologist. I'm not a paleobotanist. You cannot get DNA from a fossil.
And why?
Because there's nothing organic in a fossil.
It's not that creature anymore.
It's rock that filled in the place.
Mm-hmm. Of said fossil. Of said animal.
Yeah. So to have cartilage preserved, I'm going to try to say this and not laugh. To have cartilage that you say is preserved for 125 million years, and you demineralized it, which I have, that's made up.
But they broke
and
it.
And this isn't a mysterious article. It's the Mysterious Universe. It's not. They're reporting what this Chinese article
says. This is not their opinion. Yes. This is their reporting the results. Just
literally, yes. So that could be the lie. So they actually had the DNA. They're actually working on de-extincting this animal with what appears to be chicken embryos they're using. Yeah, I'm not joking.
Didn't they find like red blood cells and stuff in it?
Shh.
No, not this one.
That's a different one. That's later.
Oh, okay.
So that could be the lie, is that it's not 125 million years old.
Right.
So either two things happened, is that the time scale's off, or they found a much closer living one.
Much closer living, more recent relative.
Or they're completely lying. That's the other thing.
Or they're making it all up.
They're making it all up.
Mm. Or they found a fossil, and they're claiming that they retrieve this DNA from them.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's very odd. China has actually, there was another article. Do you remember this a couple years ago? with the island in China that they said they discovered covered full of dinosaurs. Do you remember this at all? We almost did an episode on it, yes. What happened is it was only reported for like a day and a half, and then everybody shut up about it. It was super weird. Like,
discovered it? China?
Yes, China discovered it. China reported it. A couple of American tourists supposedly recorded it on their phone, on the TV, like in a nail salon, essentially. Because they're like, they could speak Chinese and stuff. They're a local dialect of Chinese. And they're like, did he just say that they discovered an island of dinosaurs? Like, did I pick up on that right? And, you know, they're like, yeah. So recorded it. It was talked about. It made it to the U.S. for like a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody shut up about it. You can find almost nothing on it. Super strange.
So is it a Jurassic Park type thing going on?
So here, there could be where somebody Jurassic Parked dinosaurs already. And somebody else accidentally stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government did what the Chinese government's really good at.
Hiding everything.
Yeah.
And shutting people up.
And you go into a big ditch.
And murdering your relatives.
Well, not murdering. You go on disposing. Vacation.
Disposing of.
You go on vacation. In a nice tent.
6 feet in the ground.
About 30.
Oh, 30.
Because they got to put a dinosaur on top of you.
Oh, okay. That's right.
They shot to shoot the dinosaur too.
And then plant trees and build a mountain on top of that.
Oh, you're talking about the pyramid?
Yeah.
No. Huh?
Oh, no. No, it's just, yeah, odd.
Just super weird. Mm-hmm. So you got all these.
What if they do have like a Jurassic Park, but not for the reasons like, hey, let's tourism, go visit it. What if they're developing these hybrid island creatures and they're extracting DNA and stuff that they can out of them that they can use for other nefarious reasons and all sorts of crap?
You're good.
It's the world we live in.
They may not be dinosaurs. They may be hybrid monstrosities, maybe. Ooh.
Okay, I didn't. That wasn't my thought at first, but you're. I agree with you.
No, but this whole article was talking about this. I think they have dinosaur DNA.
Yeah.
I don't think the lie is. I think this, because you can look this up. If anybody wants the article, just hit me up and I'll send it to you. If I remember. Like, okay, I'll take that back. I'll try to remember. I'll try to give it to you. There's a lot of you guys. If I get 500 emails, somebody's not getting this article. I'm sorry. No, so there's just a lot of just weird, like, we talk about it a lot with science. Is it the bludgering with big words really fast?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I tried to read the article word for word, and I just could not.
Yeah.
You just can't. But talking about demineralization, as far as I know, is impossible. They're talking about finding chromosomal material inside these fossils. Then to me, it makes it not a fossil.
Right,
it's not. It's a bone. That's the difference. Yes, you can get all this stuff out of a really, really old bone.
Yeah.
A fossil, I just...
It's a different story.
I'm not a paleobotanist or paleobiologist. Maybe I'm wrong, but I couldn't find anywhere else besides this, just China talking about this.
This says demineralization is the process of removing minerals or biominerals from an organism or substance. That's what it says it is.
So I think that would be, I still don't think that applies to a fossil.
No, because it can't.
You can't demineralize a fossil, but eventually you're just going to get
nothing. You have nothing left.
Yeah, because it's all mineral.
Yeah, you're going to you're dissolving the stone.
I just don't know.
So it can't be a fossil. If maybe there.
I wish I had more for China and Asia as a whole. There's just not a lot.
And it could be like we talked about in the last episode too, like a loss, or no, it was this episode, I think. Lost in translation kind of thing. Maybe it wasn't technically a fossil, but they referred to it as something fossil-like, just an old
carcass.
Carcass?
Sure. And that could be that.
Translated into fossil?
Yeah.
But it's still, they're claiming it to be 128 million years. It could be a taxon. What is that? Lazarus taxona.
There we go.
That they found.
Good episodes.
Yeah, callbacks, references. See, we're learning on this show. Each episode is an opportunity to learn, and it's up to you if it sticks or not, really. So you can apply all the clues. It all adds up to one big picture is what we're saying.
So what do you think about Asia with dinosaurs?
I think it's a wild, very widespread, accounts. Because Asia is so huge, but they're all massive. Very different.
I mean, all the continents are big except Europe.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just remote areas, you know, and weird mythological creatures, and it's a lot of weird things. And
And there evidence was, and I found stories more that were just tiny, like the Zhao. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no sightings, just like.
But it's this, an interesting
animal in mythology and yeah. some culture. Mm-hmm. Really looks like a dino. But at some point, you're just like, yes, you can only draw so many shapes of animal until you get stuff that looks like a dino.
Dinosaur, yeah.
And there were so many dinos that you're going to get overlap.
Right, absolutely.
But the four wings was just a very unique
interesting
trait.
Yeah.
Because.
There's no way. Is there an animal like that now, a bird?
Anything? No.
No.
No, yes, no.
Yeah.
There are some that have skirted feet.
Yeah.
So they have feathers on their, but they're not true wings.
No, right. But maybe the Zhao.
They have those genes for that.
Maybe the Zhao isn't, though, either. Maybe it just has the same thing and they described it as wings. It
could be.
Yeah, you don't know.
I think there's so much more to Asia. And I just kind of, this is the one I just don't have a lot on because it's just, I think there's so much hidden from the governments there. Whether it's Russia, like you said, North Korea, Russia, China, and some of the even small governments are just not the best for their people. So even in this age of information, we're just not getting those accounts.
Not entirely. I mean, we are more now than we were, but still.
When you, like, yeah, we're just not hearing these stories of 100 years ago of somebody killing a dragon.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And it's, you know, there are dragon-like creatures, European-style dragon-like creatures in China, but they just don't call them dragons. Their dragons are the long, slender serpentine, more like South America's dragons.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, that's going to be it for Asia today.
Yeah.
I have been the great and powerful Mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 33.
We'll catch you next week with Australia and Indonesia.
Oh,
bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.